Welcome to God and Country, a program where we apply the scriptures to the times in which we live. And it is through the scriptures that we gain the true understanding of what's happening in this world. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Psalm 119, 45 and 46. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings. I shall not be ashamed. Today's program is about conservative talk radio personalities. They have emerged on the scene as an alternative news media, and they have presented themselves as the wise counselors for this generation. Who are they? Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Michael Medved, Bill Bennett, Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Miller, Bill O'Reilly, Steve Molsberg, Curtis Sliwa, Michael Savage, Mark Levin, Ann Coulter, Glenn Beck, and the list goes on and on. And you can probably guess why a God and Country show needs to be dedicated to this subject. A few in the Christian community are following these personalities too religiously, and some, spending more time listening to these people than to the scriptures, have had their understanding distorted. And we must address this subject because these radio personalities have had a profound effect on the values and the attitudes in the Christian community, and even the whole nation. And I believe one reason why the Christian community is listening to these pundits is that many churches have neglected giving commentary on social, economic, political issues. And Christians want to know what to believe about certain things because most of our day is spent in business and in the political world, and that is where the rubber meets the road in terms of living out our biblical values. Most evangelical pulpits concentrate on personal issues, marriage and family life issues, and these things are important, but that is not the sum total of the Christian life. The churches of the 17th and 18th century were not shy about teaching what the Bible says about politics from the pulpit, but in the 20th century, the church has neglected some of this application. Yet it should be that the pulpits of this land should be putting these secular pundits to shame with our biblical wisdom and insight, rather than leading, too many are following. Now, some Christian leaders believe that staying out of political social issues is a good thing, that the role of the pulpit is only to deal with matters of personal salvation. Now, without a doubt, the gospel of Christ is the primary message. That is, the individual getting right with God and living a holy life. But even Paul himself took a few chapters to deal with the matters of the state and the matters of business. Even in my own church, Harbor Bible Church, I rarely make political applications. Not because I want to avoid the subject, but because there are so many more important applications of the Word of God that need to be dealt with. There is very little time for political commentary in the pulpit. And that's one of the reasons for this show. This is extra information for the Christian community. And in that there are so many Christians getting their political views from these secular talk show hosts, there is a need for more biblical voices to speak up. Voices that are more theologically correct and voices that give the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe today's program about conservative talk radio is a timely and needful topic to address. Christians should understand the role these personalities play in the scheme of God's work in this world. And Christians should know how to evaluate these social leaders. They are the prophets of our day. And what the Bible says about the prophets applies to them. Yet you say, they can't be the prophets, for they're not religious. Yes, they are religious because they are dealing with ideology, ethics, and values. In the ancient world, the people didn't play the game we play today in separating the secular from the sacred. The ancients knew that those who spoke about transcendent values were delving into the spiritual realm. So not only are these radio talk show hosts acting as prophets, but also Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama and Pat Robertson, in that they teach and counsel society on ethics and values, they fit the biblical definition of the prophet. But the question is this. Are these radio talk show personalities, the false prophets, similar to the false prophets Jeremiah and Jesus had to deal with, or are they the true prophets? And remember, in the history of Israel, there were thousands of false prophets and only a handful of true prophets. The true prophets were always in the minority. Now, there is not one chapter or verse that says such and such a media personality is true or false. So we're going to have to use spiritual discernment as we apply the principles of Scripture. I realize I have to be very careful about all this because I don't want to give you my opinion. I want to teach you what the Bible has to say about this. So I've written down a number of biblical truths that I hope will shed some light on this topic. First, without a doubt, the rise of conservative talk radio has had a profound impact on our country, as did the prophets in the Old Testament. Rush Limbaugh speaks to between 14 and 20 million listeners a week on 600 stations. Glenn Beck is not too far behind. Imagine every day, every week, having the ear of 5 to 10% of the entire American population. The devil operates on lies. The only way he can sell his version of morality is to conceal the truth. And if it wasn't for conservative talk radio in our day, by now the left would have passed all sorts of outrageous liberal legislation. So I appreciate conservative talk radio. There is no doubt that God raised up this venue to keep the lid on national corruption. And if America is to go down the tubes, may it be because we choose to do evil, not because a small minority of progressives secretly force an ungodly state upon the people. It may be that God is using these conservative voices to disseminate the truth of what's going on. And truth is always a good thing. David's son Absalom planned to overthrow his father and take control of the Israeli government. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13, that a messenger came to David, warning David of the conspiracy. And it was because of this messenger, David was able to act accordingly and escape. Who was the messenger? Well, he's not named. But God sends messengers to let his people know what's happening. A second truth we should consider. God uses unsaved people, unsaved moralists, to keep the lid on the unsaved immoral. The wrong assumption is that if someone is a promoter of some biblical moral law, pro-life, limited government, traditional marriage, then that person must be godly. No, God uses unsaved moralists to protect his true sheep in the world. A primary example of this in the Old Testament is Jehu. In 1 Kings 19, we read that Elijah the prophet anoints Jehu to be the next king of northern Israel. So it was God himself who raised up Jehu to do a work in Israel. And what was that work? He gathered an army and threw out of power the dynasty of Ahab and Jezebel. Remember, he took Jezebel and threw her out of a tower, and the dogs ate her body? And after Jehu took power, we read in 2 Kings 10 that Jehu called for a special meeting of all the priests of Baal. 2 Kings chapter 10, then Jehu gathered all the people and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little, Jehu will serve him much. Now summon all the prophets of Baal, all of his worshipers and all of his priests. Let no one be missing, for I have a great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live. But Jehu did it in cunning so that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. And the text goes on to say that Jehu locked the priests of Baal into the temple, and he had his soldiers slay all of them. And Jehu turned the temple of Baal into a public restroom. Baal worship at this time was the pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-status ideology of that day. Jehu held on to the traditional values of Yahweh worship. Jehu destroyed the Baal worship in northern Israel, and that hindered the immorality of the nation so that the nation would remain for at least another 150 years. Jehu was God's stopgap measure to give the people more time. Was Jehu a true follower of God? No, we read in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 30, that the Lord tells Jehu, he has done well in executing what is right in God's eyes. and has done to the house of Ahab according to all that was on God's heart. But the text goes on to say that Jehu was not careful to walk in the laws of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all of his heart, and he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin. Jehu, although he was conservative, did not hold to the true worship of God. Why then did God use this unbelieving compromiser to destroy Baal worship? Because we often see in Scripture that God uses the unsaved to check other unsaved men. In 1 Kings 19, when Jehu was anointed to be king by the prophet Elijah, the Lord told Elijah that there were 7,000 citizens in northern Israel who were true followers of God. So God raised up Jehu to protect God's flock of true believers, even though Jehu himself was not one of them. God had an unbeliever do the dirty work of slaying the unbelievers. Now, conservative pundits are not slaying the liberals in a physical sense, but they are fighting and winning the minds of the public against secular liberalism. But these conservative personalities ought not to rest in their conservative exploits as their ticket to heaven. God uses the morality of these theists to accomplish his purpose, but he grants them no eternal salvation for such actions. One can be a conservative, patriotic, right-wing ideologue and go straight to hell. Certainly God uses these men, but God also uses the devil. But that is not the way we want to find ourselves being used by God. The point is, just because God uses someone doesn't mean they're spiritual or that they correctly teach the truth in all things. Remember how God used Samson, even though Samson was no saint? So understand that many of these radio personalities are tools to persecute the ungodly, but don't follow all of their teachings. Woe to the one who would have become one of Jehu's avid supporters. Sure, he was against Baal worship, but he still did not worship God in truth. To support Jehu would be to support a man whose system of beliefs were not pleasing to God. It's much better to unite with the true followers of the Lord who teach the correct gospel than to follow conservative moralists. This brings me to my next point. Most conservative talk radio personalities do not base their morality upon biblical authority, but upon pragmatism. Conservative morals are promoted not on a biblical basis, but on a utilitarian basis. Whether the talk show host personally believes in the Bible or not is not discussed. Their defense of conservative values flow out of a belief in personal freedom, liberty, prosperity, stability. Now, God can use these conservative personalities to show the irrationality of secular humanistic policy, so that if America forsakes her freedom for Big Brother socialism, it is shown that they're doing this against rational thought and pragmatic success. They want sin so badly, they don't care if they drive the country into the ground. And these conservatives do a great job in chronicling the lunacy and the inconsistency and the lies on the left. But here's the problem with these conservative leaders basing political ideology on pragmatism. The value of personal freedom is an insufficient value upon which to build a society that is morally pleasing to God. Personal freedom could be used to support less government, but it also can be used to support legalized drugs, homosexual marriages, neglect of the poor. And that is why many of these secular conservative personalities are very inconsistent in applying their underlying values, because they really don't have a complete foundation built upon the rock, the authority of Jesus Christ. They try to prove all morality without scriptural authority, and that might work for a generation living off the moral capital of Christianity. But in subsequent generations, their conservative foundation will again lead to liberalism itself. And maybe some of these conservative personalities do believe in the transcendent law of God. But unfortunately, they believe such arguments need to be kept hush-hush because they don't want to be persecuted for the offense of the cross. And by so doing, in the end, they actually hurt the cause of righteousness. For we know that righteousness can only come to a nation through through Jesus Christ. And consider this, even if our society was able to create morality without God in the Bible, what have you got? If without Jesus Christ in the Bible, America was to outlaw pornography, abortion, divorce, gambling, homosexuality, would we be any better off before God in that which matters for eternity? No. Unfortunately, too many people in our churches think that outward moral conformity is the goal, but it's not. There are Islamic communities that appear morally conservative, but they're not. They never achieve a righteous population, and terrible sins take place behind the scenes. It is because they have idolatrous theology, and such nations are under a worse judgment of God than most wicked cities in America. The Pharisees were moral conservatives, and Jesus said to them in Matthew 23:15, that when they make a convert, they make him twofold more a child of hell than themselves. Morality without Christ is deadly and cruel. Now, human reason might say that morality on any basis is better than none at all, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Matthew 21:31, Jesus said to the conservative chief priests and the elders of Israel, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you." And Paul teaches in Colossians 2:23 that a morality without Christ has the appearance of wisdom, but it is of no value, and it is powerless to put down the sins of the flesh. Conservative teachers would have been very popular in first century Rome. If the Apostle Paul preached, "Let's get back to Roman principles of greatness, Roman optimism, vision, personal responsibility, Roman discipline, frugality, economy. Let's get back to the things that made Rome great," Paul would never have been persecuted by the Romans in the first century. But since Paul preached Christ, he said he was considered the scum of the world. Jesus would never have gone to the cross if he preached conservative politics to the Sanhedrin. Instead, he would have been hailed as a right-wing patriot. Conservatism sells, liberalism sells, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is hated by mankind. The secular liberals and the secular conservatives have the money, and the podium goes to everything else besides Jesus Christ. And when the Antichrist arrives, I have no doubt that he will be a conservative in many areas. He will be so slick that he will win over both the secular conservatives and the secular liberals. And one of the interesting facts in the biblical history of Israel was that those who would be considered the conservative leaders, they were the ones who chose the path that destroyed the nation. In Jeremiah 38, King Zedekiah asked Jeremiah what to do about the invading Babylonians. Jeremiah tells the king that God would have Israel surrender to the Babylonians. But it's the hawkish conservative officials in Israel, the patriots, who would not listen to Jeremiah. They would not have surrendered because they believed wholeheartedly in personal freedoms out of a philosophy of give me liberty or give me death, and out of feelings of moral superiority over the Babylonians. It'd be too much for me to explain all this now, but these leaders in Israel were not true followers of God, the prophets, and the law of God. And their conservative values alone were not sufficient enough to lead them in making correct godly decisions for the nation. I'm not saying that the opinion of liberals in our day will be any better, but conservative values without Christ are not the answer. In fact, they can lead a nation into a pit. The message of conservatism is not enough. By itself, it's damning. And if you examine what the New Testament teaches about morality without Christ, it's alarming. Take Paul's harsh comments about the Judaizers who are entering into the church of Galatia. These Judaizers were teaching that deliverance comes by the law, by morality. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who has called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel," which is really not another, but there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." Many of these conservative radio personalities are too similar to these Judaizers for my comfort. They are preaching a gospel without Christ, which is another gospel. And morality has been tried for centuries, and it has failed. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, the law makes nothing perfect. Morality sounds good, but it's powerless. It is not the good news of power. So in evaluating these conservative pundits, Christians need to be reminded that the gospel message is not secular liberalism. Neither is it conservative moral theism. It is something totally different, something totally outside the realm of man's ways. And Christians stand apart from all false gospels that leave off the solution found in Christ alone. And my final point is this. The name of Jesus Christ needs to be exalted. It is by Jesus Christ that men are set free, that nations are healed. And God has linked all deliverance to his Son, for all authority is given unto him. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If the person and the work of Jesus Christ is not the central message, then it's an empty false message. If these conservative radio personalities talked about man's failure to obey the law and then included that the solution is faith and repentance toward Jesus Christ, then they would do this people some good. But as it is, they are only tools in God's hand to hinder and punish the ungodly. But what message do they have if they don't have Christ? I fear what you get is a band-aid to cover up an infected wound, when instead there needs to be the antibiotic of the gospel. The band-aid can make matters worse because it gives the false impression of healing, when there is no healing. And this is what the prophet Jeremiah said against the false prophets of his day. Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying peace, peace, but there is no peace. But I hear the objection. These are not religious preachers, they're political commentators. So it's okay for them to leave out Jesus, God, the Father, biblical references. Really? Do you think God allows that kind of separation? The condemnation upon this world is that they have separated Jesus Christ from their political, business, and social life. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is to have first place in everything, not just in the church, not just in the home. And in Revelation, we read that Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of this earth. You can't get much more political than that. But bringing Jesus Christ into such prominence is so foreign to this world. It's foreign to the liberals. It's foreign to the conservatives. It just goes to show how far this world has fallen from God and his truth, and how radical is the Christian message. Now, this is not sour grapes coming from one public speaker against these popular leaders. No, this is coming from someone who's passionate about Jesus Christ, and who believes all values and all law and all glory need to go to Jesus Christ. I hope these truths have been helpful for you today. I hope these biblical truths have put you back on track if you've been gradually deceived by the good-sounding rhetoric of a morality without Christ. Let us know what's on your mind. You can contact us by way of our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again. Or you can call us for a free CD of this program at 732-583-9286. You may know of someone who needs to hear this program. Again, it's godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Thank you for your continual support, your prayers, your correspondence. We appreciate all those who are part of the discipleship ministry of God and Country Radio. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your people listen to the right voices in the last days. Give your people discernment. And for those who are not your people who are listening to this program, we pray that they would understand the unique message of Christ and receive the deliverance that only he can offer. Amen.